Hey, and welcome to the Rule Thirds podcast, where we're still working on a slogan. Today, guys, we're going to be reviewing a very popular movie that is based on a very popular franchise, the SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water. So I think in honor of this legendary franchise, I'm going to ask, are you ready, guys?
Nothing better sums up my thoughts on that intro than that reaction right there.
Yeah, remind me to never, never, ever ask you guys that question again.
Will do.
I think my soul just kind of died for a second. With that in mind, guys, the official podcast of Rule Thirds starts right now.
My name is Sean.
My name is Larry. I guess your name is Max. I don't know. Maybe?
Yeah.
His name is Max.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. Now you can cue it up.
Man. So, how are my lovely co-hosts doing on this fine, fine day?
Good.
Happy to be here reviewing. Well, Max, you could say I'm doing swimmingly. It's what I bring to the table, everyone.
Sean, you and I are going to have a talk later. And you are going to be prepared for a stern, stern talking to. But I'm doing great!
Sean, you could say that joke really, made waves.
I'm done. Max's opinion of us, Larry, has sunk.
Fantastic. Okay. Oh, nice one. Good one, man.
Oh, man. Whew.
All right.
Max left the room.
Anyway, so I guess it's just me and Sean. So Sean.
Oh, and it just never stops.
Sean, just
never. Okay, fine. Anyway, if you couldn't tell from all our wonderful puns, we're talking about the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water. But before we get to our review, it's time for the community
I just want to soak
segment.
Up those puns. Sorry, I have one more. Sorry.
Oh my god. Okay, I already left. Do you want me to get in my car and drive away?
Yes.
Max, stop being so shellfish. Come on, just keep it going. Come on.
You're right. Only with a nice helping of TM work can we get through this freaking episode. So, community segment. Captain Raccoon Whitley. The captain of his ship, the Raccoon Whitley. He made a response. Tell us, Sean, what is it?
Whitley.
What a wit on that Whitley. What a wit.
Yes. So, last episode, previously on Rule Thirds Podcast, I kind of called him a bit of a stereotype in a positive way.
He's more like a monotype, if you know what I'm saying.
Because he always mentioned Studio Ghibli films as in literally every response for a podcast or pretty much everyone on Twitter has been Studio Ghibli related in some form, way, shape, or form.
And now you're all caught up.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm just pointing out.
Now you're all caught
up. So his response starts with a response to that critique of him with a critique towards me. Way to call me a stereotype, Mr. Sean. I reference Casablanca and or Game of Thrones in every episode, Captiville.
Preach!
Ooh.
You want to know the difference?
I mean, that's totally wrong, Sean. You reference so many other things the time.
Yeah, I do. Anyway. The difference between my stereotypes and Whitley's stereotypes is mine have cultural relevance here in the West. Shots fired. Bang, bang.
I would say cannons fired, actually, in lieu of our pirate theme. We're going
cannons yes. fired. Cannons
oh, so that
fired.
One you laugh at. That one you laugh at. Easily the weakest. The others make you leave the room. Okay.
Well, I mean, look. Larry's delivery is just a little bit better than the other guy in this conversation.
I take a mid-internet bow for that one. There you go.
Yeah, anyway.
Don't actually bow because you might hit your head in the mic and it'll spike it.
Oh, look. Dang. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
No,
Max, you should have won me earlier. God.
Okay.
All right. So what did he say?
The actual response to the question. I'm glad we're moving along so quickly and fluidly. And, there's a ocean pun there.
Oh my anyway. God, we're never going to leave. It's just going to keep happening.
So anyway, his actual response to his idea for a reboot with a twist is how he pitches it, Digimon in the real world.
Ah.
That's pretty much the one-liner pitch that he does.
Well, that's good. So, I mean, like Digimon are the Digimon? Champions.
It's like live action or real world stuff.
Did you guys see the movie of that? That was a really weird movie.
I saw the review for it.
I have not seen the live action.
I saw the movie. It was really
weird.
Okay, so Digimon in the real world, like, Isn't Digimon, like, connected to the internet? I mean, that seems like a pretty relevant thing these days.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, that's kind of what he's going up. He says, you can have the digital world being as a metaphor for the World Wide Web, Digimon being digital creations coming out of the net to cause terror, and the Digidestined, by the way, really lame name for your heroes, this note to the people that created the show.
Wasn't that the 90s? I think we can excuse it.
Cause terror and the Digidestins as lonely nerds and cyber hackers who are so glued to their computers that they've lost touch with reality. There's real potential for a commentary on how the internet has rapidly reshaped society to the point where reality and internet are being blurred and melding together.
Whitley never finishes a sentence. Whitley, you got something there.
Yeah, that's true. Isn't it interesting? Like, Digimon is a very interesting product of its time, because even though, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was built in the aftermath of the Pokemon phenomenon. It was made at this time when the internet was like this really new, like interesting, like cool thing, like the internet superhighway. I think that's interesting. So maybe bringing it into a modern age would be, I think, pretty good execution.
Yeah, sure.
It would have to be live action.
I have no link to Digimon, so I can't really give thoughts on it.
But I think and Pokemon's better. Anyway, so thank you for that, Whitley.
One second. He actually left a second comment.
Okay. And
another way to pitch his idea, he says, picture Godzilla meets Tron meets the Lego Movie.
Holy crap. All right, Whitley, let's get this on board.
Yeah, let's okay, move on to the topic or the
yeah. Actually, and remember, just, guys, just before just, before yeah, this week's community question, yes, I guess we'll call it a community question. We have to think of names for these.
Yeah,
what did you think about the movie that we're going to review today? And that's pretty much the default question that we'll get for every review episode we do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Another question is, based on the property today, what is your favorite quote from SpongeBob? I just want to ask this because, guys, what's your favorite quote? Like, just like one of your favorite quotes.
You can't choose my leg. That's cheating.
It's been too long. Sorry.
Cheating.
All right, that makes sense. But speaking of which, why don't we just go over real quick our connection to this franchise, considering it is a nostalgic property getting a movie 10 years after the last movie. So, Larry, why don't you start? Tell us, your thing with SpongeBob. Go for it.
I'm a huge fan of SpongeBob. Ever since my childhood, in the little after-school kind of daycare program, they would always show Nickelodeon shows on television. SpongeBob was very prominent, especially during the early 2000s. So I am very much so connected to the earlier seasons of the show. Huge fans. Unfortunately, like many fans of the older episodes, I don't find the newer episodes as good. I'm not going to say that they're like god awful, because on television there's far worse for kids.
And adults.
A fanboy and chum chum. Anyway, but they're just not as sharp, you know, as the originals. But I am still a big fan of SpongeBob. I find him an incredibly charming character, and I think Steven Hillenburg is a genius. So
yeah, I hope I get to meet him someday.
Oh, that would be my dream.
Sean, what do you think of SpongeBob? Because I've heard you're not as on board as Larry. That's just a lame theory.
Max made a pun. Anyway,
if there exists a hell, it probably looks like this.
Okay, my connection to SpongeBob is that I watched it. More of a story.
Okay.
I know that was the prequel. Now the actual story.
Nice.
Basically, I didn't have cable growing up. I've never had cable until I came here to the dorms, and hey, cable's included, yay.
Cable's nice.
But during brief periods of time, I don't know like why and when it happened. Maybe it was like some sports season for my dad or something. We would get cable for brief bits of time throughout the year. And so what we do is when we get cable, we would get these blank VHS tapes that you used to be able to buy, and now VHS doesn't exist. Could record off the television. And so I have a ton of movies that way and all this stuff and a lot of tapes. I have like 5-6 hour tapes filled with nothing but SpongeBob episodes.
Nice.
In its heyday too. This was season like 2 and 3, somewhere in there. And that's what I would do. Not even when we were watching. We'd also record when we were watching, but you could set up to time to record at certain, you know, time of day. So we would just every day know when SpongeBob was going to air, record it, watch it later. So that's me and SpongeBob. And I don't know if people remember, but there was this thing called the Video Now. It was this portable disc player for movies. The screen
that's
was
familiar.
Like an inch and a half diagonal. It was absolute garbage. Black and white, terrible. But I got one, And the disc that came with it was Band Geeks.
I think I'm actually starting to remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
I never bought another disc. I just
because Band Geeks is the best episode.
It is. It is. Anyway, that was longer winded than I anticipated, but that's my history. Again, I like it, but I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm a, like in the fandom. I never liked that word. I am a fan, but I'm not a diehard fan. You two are the ones that, you know,
Triforce of your
childhood.
I mean, yeah. Thank you for ruining it, Sean.
Nice.
If I'm going to be really honest, SpongeBob is the one third of the Triforce that is my childhood.
The song is really good.
Sean Captivel, everybody, the Zelda theme song.
It's late. I get encore, a little encore, off the ropes.
I prefer Skyward Sword's theme personally, but for the Triforce, it was Harry Potter, it was Pokemon, and it was SpongeBob.
A few minutes of the Sorcerer's Stone on TV this evening.
Wow. Well, we're going to do a Harry Potter podcast at some point.
Eventually.
Yeah, SpongeBob means a lot to me. I grew up watching it, you know, alongside other great shows like The Powerpuff Girls and The Fairly Odd Parents. And it was, I've rewatched like the earlier seasons recently, and they are very good. They are excellent, actually. They're really good animation. There's something I've noticed about them that I will get to later on in this review. In fact, I watched it so much that I not only watched the movie, I saw the movie again at a Q&A screening at an animation film festival with a Q&A with Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob himself, alongside the voice of Sandy, whose name I just cannot remember at the moment. And not only that, but the next day, and then during that Q&A, he referenced an episode that he couldn't remember the title of. I raised my hand and I told him the answer. It was The Paper, if you guys remember that episode, The Paper.
Yes, I remember. Gum wrapper one.
It's a classic episode. And then afterwards, the next day, I got my official number one SpongeBob fan certificate signed by Tom Kenny, which basically means that I am, in fact, the number one SpongeBob fan in the world. I think it just kind of qualifies it at this point.
Our new advertising slogan, Rule Thirds, featuring the number one SpongeBob fan in the world.
That's right, y'all. Max Mariner. To be fair, I have not watched that much of the newer stuff. I have not seen it, so I have no context. I don't know whether it's good or bad. But I do know around this time that I left the series, it became much more approachable, because around the same time that I stopped watching it, Steven Hillenburg, the creator, left the series, and Steven Hillenburg brought an element to the series that was quickly a nun, which I will get to you later on in this review. I'm sorry for rambling, but I just noticed it got a lot more approachable. So whether or not that's good or bad is entirely up to the audience, but that's my history. So let's see. Should we talk about the first movie?
Briefly.
Okay, what do we think of the first movie? Quickly.
Very good.
Very, very good.
I rewatched it last night.
Excellent in every way.
Yeah, see, that's where Max and I disagree. I think he's giving it too much credit. I think it's very good. I don't dislike it at all.
I've seen it recently. It really, not only does it hold up, it's so much better than I remember. You know who voices the Dennis? Like, Dennis the Hunter? You know who voices
Alec Baldwin, right?
Yeah, Alec freaking Baldwin. That's crazy. Like, I don't know. I just think that's pretty cool.
He's just surprisingly good.
Scarlett Johansson. Girl mustache.
Scarlett Johansson voices a character.
Yeah, she voices the mermaid.
She's Princess Mindy.
And Jeffrey Tambor.
Jeffrey Tambor. I love that guy.
Jeffrey Tambor. Isn't he the guy who won that Golden Globe for Transparent?
That's him. Yep. He played King Neptune.
He was a San Francisco State alumni. That's crazy.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
He was Neptune.
Sean, you and I agree on one thing. Goofy Goober Rock is the best way to climax
it's
everything.
It's like one of my, if I did top 10 endings of all time, probably be there.
I think the SpongeBob SquarePants movie is just one of those movies that I can put it on whenever and just enjoy the hell out of it. I mean, it's just such a fun movie.
Me too. I will, I'm thinking about rewatching it later today. I might just watch it again. I should mention before we get to the review that this movie, Sponge Out of Water, is not a direct sequel to the original, which whether it's good or bad is entirely up to you. But it does not include Neptune, Mindy, or any of that.
We're not going to take any biases of the first film and bring it into this review.
Yeah, there's no way we can, because this movie is going for something completely different. With that in mind, guys, what we do every time we have a review, considering this is the first movie review during the Rule Thirds Era podcast, instead of Cinema Talk, we first start with our just general thoughts. They're spoiler-free. And then we go into the spoiler-filled discussion. And so, with that in mind, if you haven't seen the movie and you want to see it based on either what we say or just your own interest, which I recommend, you can just stop the podcast and just go see it and then join us back.
After our general thoughts.
We'll tell you when.
Don't stop it now. Wait, don't stop it. No.
See what you did. See what you did, Max. You lost the audience.
I think we blew it, guys.
Max,
I think
what
we
the
blew
heck,
it.
Man? What the heck?
No, I think we really blew it. That is a recent one. That is a recent quote. Bam, bam.
Nice.
Bam. Anyway, yeah, so we're just going to do that before we get to it. And then, yeah, so remember, you had the question. You have the community question. So I want to ask, Sean, I'm going to start with you. Okay. What did you think of the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water?
I liked it.
That's a good way to start. All
right, guys, that's good. All right, Larry,
come on. Blah, blah, blah. No,
so,
come on, Sean.
I liked it. I very much enjoyed myself. It's in many ways, no, actually in every way, as in the one way, I find it funnier than the original SpongeBob movie, though it is not necessarily as thematically sound or kind of self-complete or as, I don't know, important to onto itself, I guess is the way to put
wow.
it. You know what I mean? Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
it doesn't feel
yeah,
as much
yeah.
a film, you know? I don't know.
I totally agree.
That being said, I do think it's funnier. The jokes are just on just top par, really funny stuff, physical humor, verbal humor, all that. And that's what matters to me, at least when I went in. I'm okay with it not quite living up to the, I don't know, more thoughtful nature of the first movie, because I think it was funnier. I think I was more entertained by it than the first movie. It was also much weirder, but we'll get to that later. So overall, I think it was a good movie. I would give it a 7 out of 10.
All right, Larry, you go for it.
All right. I enjoyed this movie quite a bit. I will be the first to admit it's not perfect, and I will definitely agree with Sean. It just doesn't feel as thematically complete, nor as much really a solid, like, series of events as a movie as the first one was. But I still had a lot of fun. I think this movie is really trying to capture the essence of the original, so much so that some jokes, in my opinion, are original worthy. Like, you would see them in original episodes. Animation is gorgeous, especially with the CGI models they rendered. Mm. Overall, tons of fun. Very enjoyed it. And you know what? I was kind of working off of two different grades, but I'm just going to say it. I'm going to give SpongeBob an 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed myself.
Okay, fine. Okay. I guess speaking as the official number one SpongeBob fan.
Of course.
I thought this movie was decent. I think it has a lot of problems. The animation of the 2D animation is really, like, is kind of subpar. Like, the original from 10 years ago is much better. The animation. It doesn't hold a candle to the original, but that's irrelevant. There's a lot of problems, like some terrible jokes and whatnot. But I think it is really trying. It feels much more like an extended episode than a full movie like the first one. But I do think it's got a lot of good jokes. It does include some of that trademark classic SpongeBob that I grew up watching, which I appreciate. It seems to be more of like a combination of both new and old SpongeBob, and I think the results are very mixed. But overall, I enjoyed it. You know, it's a decent film, and I would give it a 6.5 out of 10. So with that in mind, if you have not seen the movie, and now you want to go see it based on the scores that we've given it, you can stop the podcast right now, go see it, and join us back for our extended discussion that goes heavily into spoilers.
All right? Spoilers.
Cool. We'll see you later. With everybody else, I just want to say something really quick. This movie, guys, I think you may be able to agree with me on this, is very mismarketed.
May I follow that by saying that's a good thing?
I guess.
Well, I went into this movie expecting 3D animated live action mix, and they're superheroes, and I was worried that it was going to be a gimmicky. It's the SpongeBob movie. Which one? Oh, well, the one with superpowers. You know, it didn't feel like a SpongeBob movie. It was just a gimmick based one. You know, I said that before about I might have said about SpongeBob actually. You guys remember I brought up this exact same point?
Oh yeah, well, we were doing our 2015 preview.
Yeah,
you brought that up.
But instead, I got just. It was a SpongeBob movie.
Exactly. I think that's a very
important
point. And
that was better. It kept its gimmick, which was used for marketing. And it was so nice to be surprised. Who knew that there was time travel in this movie? Who saw that coming?
Yeah, I know, right? Seriously.
Yeah,
threw me for a loop.
I will, and you know what I'm going to say right now? All comparisons to the original stop right here. Like, enough. Like, you really can't. Like, the only thing I will say is that the animation in this movie is, like, the 2D animation is a lot worse than the original, which really disappointed me. But other than that, there's not really much we can talk about with the original.
But I just want to say thank you, Sean, for bringing that up, because I think it's very important to realize that this movie is a SpongeBob movie. I mean, this movie, you can just tell they're not trying to market SpongeBob. This is not what this movie is really about. I get the whole superhero thing, like, more toys. But this movie is not about just selling out SpongeBob and, you know, just making another movie just because it's SpongeBob. You know, there is a theme to this movie. There is an idea. There's a moral. I don't know if the moral is not
I think it's a little bit all over the place. But yeah,
it's a bit all over the place. But, like, the idea of teamwork is really the main idea.
TM work.
And it's not... I'm going to say it's not as complete as, Sean, you used that word. It's not as complete as I would have liked it. I feel there are moments where definitely, you know, it does bring it up and well, but I felt they could have gone farther with it and could have made it a bit more of a complete circle. But I loved the fact that the movie really had a point. This was not just, oh, look at SpongeBob being stupid. You know, like, this was a – this was there's a heart to this movie, and it's a very charming movie at that. And I just, that's why I loved watching it so much. It felt like they were really trying to channel SpongeBob, in my opinion. What makes SpongeBob so enjoyable to watch? And that's the themes of the characters.
I don't disagree.
I don't mind.
No, this is good. Discuss.
Yeah, please.
See, the thing for me is that this movie is very much all over the place. The first thing I can tell you right now, off the top of my head with this movie, is that it is trying very, very hard to combine the essence of new SpongeBob, which is approachable, sort of generic to an extent.
Yes.
I've seen a few new episodes, and it's a little bit generic. And classic SpongeBob, which by classic, I mean really, really weird. Earlier, I said that there was something I noticed about the older SpongeBobs that I hadn't noticed before, and that's they get really freaking weird
sometimes. There are some weird
SB moments. SB-129, anybody? Anybody? Like,
excuse
it can get
me.
Morbid,
the,
it can have weird...
The perfume department?
Yeah.
that is by far one of the weirdest moments, I think, in SpongeBob history.
They're great moments, and I can totally tell they're like that with Stephen Hillenburg returning for the story, you can clearly tell that there's some kind of like there's a balance between classic and new SpongeBob. And I think like and it's weird, like the movie gets very weird. At first it's like, okay, it's just a regular SpongeBob, you know, it's just like they're doing stuff, and then it turns into post-apocalyptic Bikini Bottom with Mad Max references everywhere.
Then
they do build a time travel machine, and they have these really strange sequences of them going in time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
those
really
were some
strange.
Of my favorite parts. I don't know. Those were one of those.
And then, but I think the thing that like really sells it for me. Let's see. Now I should probably get to this character later because it's a lot bigger of a discussion. But the plot felt like it was jogging in place a lot. I felt like it was kind of like going in circles. It was just like, it didn't feel like I was going at a full progression. It just kind of felt like, okay, and then this happens, and then you just kind of dwell on this for a while, and then the next thing happens. It didn't feel like this happened, then this happened.
This is something that I want to address. I'm glad this is coming up early on. I looked at Metacritic, as I often do, just to get general consensus, and one of the reviews described the movie as chaotic. And I agree. Think about it. It started as, I was thinking, okay, this is, you know, it's a buddy movie between Plankton and SpongeBob.
Yeah,
which I think
sorta.
Is interesting.
It was a time travel movie, but now it's a post-apocalyptic movie, and then it went like sci-fi surrealism for a bit there. That was weird.
Yeah.
And then it turned into 3D superhero stuff. Like, it's kind of a mess. Here's the thing. As a movie, if we're like, film critique. What is film? What makes film?
It's a bit
of a mess. I'm going to admit that. It's a bit of a mess. It's scattered. It doesn't really focus on one thing. It just kind of goes and goes and goes. However, I think that's one of the reasons I liked it.
Yeah.
Maybe that kind of embodies another element of weird SpongeBob. Like, weird SpongeBob, classic SpongeBob, kind of goes all over the place sometimes.
Yeah. Now, I think it was a playful, chaotic nature.
I think it was supposed
to be like that. I feel like it's not necessarily a terrible thing for it to feel like maybe a few SpongeBob episodes stitched together with an overarching story just happening to be there.
I don't think it was that. I just felt it was an extended episode. Like, it didn't really feel like progression.
But you know? I don't think that's necessarily that bad because I enjoyed it, and I think it let it feel more like SpongeBob. Like, rewatching the SpongeBob movie, it made me realize it doesn't feel like SpongeBob. You have these new characters,
totally
you have
like
these
SpongeBob.
New locations. It doesn't touch on any of the, like, original types of storylines they would do. You don't get any of the, like, the normal characters. Sandy was barely in it. Mr. Krabs was in it for a few minutes. Squidward was non-existent.
Well, okay, I mean, it was a movie. It was the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. It was a movie about SpongeBob SquarePants.
But
I think, like, it was
thing.
About his entire
Sponge
character.
Sponge Out of Water felt like the show did to me. Like, again, I watched SpongeBob a lot when I was really little. Just last night, I watched a SpongeBob SquarePants movie. And I was like, this is entertaining. I like this. It wasn't until I was watching Sponge Out of Water when this thing kicked in and I remembered why I liked the show originally. That this movie was able to succeed, and partially, I think it just kind of threw out the notion of being this really well-constructed film, because I think they played all their cards with their first one. They wanted to make this incredibly complete, ultimate SpongeBob movie. Like, this is SpongeBob in movie form, and here they just wanted a feature-length adventure.
That. Yeah. Now, I think...
Wait, hold on. Before we... I want to kind of work off of that point. I think SpongeBob has never been about plot. I don't think plot... Plot, in my opinion, was never why I liked SpongeBob.
To a point, yes.
I like SpongeBob because of the characters. I just love the character of SpongeBob.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I watched them.
Right, the lovable guy who just wants people to be happy and just wants, you know... Because there's so many moments in this movie where you're just... Plankton and SpongeBob are working off of each other. Literally, Plankton is the antithesis of SpongeBob. And you literally get this right from the get-go. Plankton is selfish, he wants everything for himself, and he's centered on one thing. While SpongeBob...
F is for fire, burn down the whole town.
Yeah, exactly.
Use for uranium bombs.
And it's for no survivors. Yeah, exactly. But here, and then you have SpongeBob, who's a happy-go-lucky, wants everyone to be happy, and just wants life to be fun for people. And so that is a perfect setup, by the way. I just want to bring that up. And so the characters, I think you bring up a good point, Sean. We do see a lot more of this, the ensemble. Squidward, Mr. Krabs, and Sandy get more of a shot.
It was weird.
Here.
Squidward did not really have, like, much of a speaking role until, like, a third into the movie. Do you guys realize that?
I think that's because they're trying to balance the whole pirate thing, and we'll get to that.
Hard balance.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. But I think the main important thing here is the reason that this movie works, in my opinion, because Sean, you are so right. This movie is nutso. There's so many moments where I can tell there's a lot going on. Because so many older episodes of SpongeBob have so many just random moments. Like, you could just, if while you're watching SpongeBob, there are so many random moments that literally have nothing to do with anything, but they're there to be there. Like, that's literally the only reason.
Again, the perfume department is, like, the perfect example of that.
Like, what you could have had SpongeBob and Patrick just walk to the other room that they had to go to.
For those who are unaware, there is an episode of SpongeBob in which they have to get to a certain location from one other place, and they just... And for whatever reason, I can't tell you why, they go through this... SpongeBob actually says, like, we have to go through
the perfume department.
And it's just... And it's literally a department in a mall above the sea, and they just run through it. It's super weird and
it's random
and, like, out of nowhere, but it's hilarious and it's memorable, and it's probably, like, one of the best examples of what SpongeBob was.
And the beauty of those moments is that they don't have to acknowledge it. They don't have to say what the heck was that. They're just it's there.
It's a cartoon, for God's sake.
That's the world that SpongeBob inhabits. It's a strange world that's random. I think I'm seeing
what you guys are saying. It's that this movie feels more like in tune with SpongeBob rather than the first one, which felt more like a serious constructed film narrative starring the SpongeBob characters.
I think there's a narrative. I want to bring up something really quick. Yeah,
This is a show, like, 21 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That's actually not entirely true, because each episode is actually split in half.
Okay, that's true.
This is a show that couldn't even keep up with a single premise for an entire 21 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, except that there was, like, an extended episode, scattered. Like, Have You Seen the Snail? Great episode.
Yeah, but I think the beauty here, though, in that scatterbrain nature is that it is very playful, and it embodies that original idea. Okay, there's a talking dolphin named Bubbles who watches over Jupiter and Saturn.
Can we get to that guy later, please? I just want to have a full-on discussion about this freaking guy.
I want to come full circle with the idea that this movie just, it felt fun. It felt like it's very self-aware of what it's trying to be. And I know Paul Tibbett is sort of the newer SpongeBob guy and Steven Hillenburg is the older one. You know that they're working together. And
Yes.
The characters.
Yes, there is a clear, yeah.
So plot is work. The characters are what works. And the character interactions in this movie are great. Tons of great lines between
yeah,
Fartball,
yeah.
Patrick,
there are
Mike,
some really bad jokes.
Beat.
There was even a fart joke at the beginning.
Well, okay,
which
there's
was,
always
which
bad jokes in
sign.
A kids movie. You can't make a kids movie
yeah,
without
yeah,
making
yeah,
the obvious
but, like,
jokes
come
that come
on.
With it. You can't excuse SpongeBob. Okay, there's that one joke where, you know, the piano joke. I think that joke is so overdone all the time. People do that joke all the
really?
Time. Can you stop
I love
doing
that,
that
joke. I mean,
can
it's
you stop doing
humor.
That? Okay,
that
sorry. And they move on. But it works because the characters are likable. That's why it works. Point over. Let's move on to...
Now,
we go
okay,
to the pirate,
okay. Now,
dude.
I think there's something we've forgotten about this whole movie, which is the villain.
Yeah, the pirate. Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, let's talk about... What is his name? Burger Beard?
Burger
yeah, I think
Beard.
His name is Burger Beard.
Oh,
I think
boy.
He doesn't even say that until the end. So, first off, I want to just give a shout-out. One of my favorite parts about this movie, and this is not like a hit on the movie or anything like that, is that the fact is the movie begins with them... You know that island you see in, like,
yes,
the establishing shot of the ocean?
So clever.
They go on that island.
I know, I thought that was very clever. That was indeed
weird. Side note to that, can this take the cake for most awkward title... Like, when it appeared in the movie and how?
Oh, yeah, that
yeah,
was really
I agree.
Strange.
That was a little weird. I would have liked
now,
that.
Now, here's... Okay, so this guy is... Okay, so, man, there's something about this that I want to talk to you guys about. That I was thinking... I was considering this for the past freaking 24 hours. So, the premise is, and maybe you've seen this by the trailer, is that this guy gets his hand on a book. A book that apparently just has a story about SpongeBob. And he starts reading it. And then he starts writing in it and things happen, I think? And
yeah.
The weird thing is, this is never explained in the movie. Now, is that now?
Oh,
let me
boy.
Ask you guys, because this is not rhetorical. Is there enough evidence in the book or in the movie to explain what the book does?
No, I don't think so.
It,
I
just
think that
you write in it and it happens. What else do you?
Yeah,
mean?
But
well,
I think
is
the
there?
Problem.
But like, I knew that from the trailer because they never mentioned that line
right.
in the movie.
I think that the thing is, I think that's probably one of my bigger problems with the movie, like the few that I have, but that's probably one of my bigger problems. The book idea, the only reason I knew what it was doing was because I'd seen the trailer. I think they could have done a better job bringing that book up just overall in the plot. I get it as a story about SpongeBob that works with the whole Zaniness, whatever. But like the whole idea that if he writes in it, things happen only occurs in the beginning of like the last third of the movie. And I think
yeah,
that they could have explained that a lot more because the Krabby Patty formula disappears randomly. And I said to myself,
there's a lot of stuff that goes unexplained in the movie,
right.
but it's never like a detriment.
Right,
it's
and
never
I,
too
right.
bad.
It just... works with the wackiness. And I think the whole idea of writing in the book turns the story the way you want it works with that idea. I just think that they could have done a better job with sort of foreshadowing, oh, you know why the Krabby Patty formula went missing? Because he took
yeah.
it for himself. You know, we could
the
have
whole
gotten
thing with the book is not developed at all. It's
yeah,
actually
it's
kind of a huge
and
fall
in the I think that really
plot.
That plot just, I feel that the, see, that's this is my problem with the movie. This pirate guy, I think this pirate guy is the one thing in this movie that is holding it back from just being really, really, really good. Like, on levels
I mean,
of how much
I
love the
I can see that.
Movie.
Like, Sean, what do you think about this pirate? Like,
Burger Beard.
I like it. I like him. It's, I don't know. It just it felt like a character that would totally exist in the SpongeBob universe. Antonio Banderas was clearly,
that's true.
Clearly having fun with it.
He's having fun.
It didn't,
fun
like,
it.
Break anything. And the book being underdeveloped realized that you know, SpongeBob and Plankton made a time machine out of, like, nails and a photo
booth.
Yes,
that's
like,
true, but, like,
it's okay
its function
for things
wasn't
to be
explained.
Underdeveloped. No, its function was dead obvious.
Sort of.
No, I'm sorry. Explain to me the complexity of you write in the magic storybook and it happens.
I'm not saying the complexity
I'm not saying that it's, like,
issue.
That it's complicated. I'm saying that I don't think it's, like, fully explained. And, like,
what else do you want to explain?
No, it's
here,
not.
Ask
no,
me
no,
a
no,
question.
No, 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 no. I'm saying what I think is, I think they could have done a better job foreshadowing what it actually does. Like, not explaining what it does. Obviously, we know what it does. We learn that in a snap. I just think that it's sort of just out of, like, if you hadn't seen the trailer and you had just seen all these wacky things happening, I think it could have been a lot more interesting if we had kind of had a subtle way of seeing, oh, he's writing something and things are happening that are really weird. We don't see what he's writing. But things are weird.
Yeah, he never wrote Burger Beard got the Krabby Patty formula. Like,
right. And
he,
I just...
Yeah,
and
he
I
never
think,
wrote that.
I think,
it just disappears.
Yeah, and I think continuing on with the point, I think the movie is trying to balance these two different plots. We have the plot of the traditional 2D animation. Really, that's really where the split comes in. There's the part during the 2D animation and the part during the 3D animation. In my opinion, I think the 2D animation part was just a little bit more enjoyable for me because I just think it was more traditional SpongeBob and I just liked that. I'm not saying the 3D part was bad. You know, that was also enjoyable, just not as much. I think that the whole burger beer and just overall the execution of the character. I know Antonio Banderas is clearly having fun with it. I will even admit that, you know, right when I saw the trailer, I thought that Banderas was just doing a paycheck job. I'll say that right off the bat, but I will admit to my fault.
Yeah,
but
it looks like he was having a bit of fun.
I think he was having fun with the, especially with the seagulls thing. He was probably having a blast.
Okay.
With that.
And again, we will get to those guys later, because right, I have something I want to talk about with regards to the, yeah.
But I think that if maybe they tried to, like, find a better way to seam those two plots together and fully develop them both simultaneously, I think we could have gotten just a better sequence of events. Because I think, Max, you're right. The story plot jogs in place pretty much for the first two-thirds of this movie.
And you know what? And you know what? Maybe that's just the fault of the film medium instead of the television medium. I think this maybe the plot with the whole book thing would have been better for a television episode because, you know, it would be a lot simpler to follow, but instead we're kind of like dragged along. Also, another weird thing is how this story is chronologically structured, because the book tells the story as if it happened a long time ago, and then it's just happening, and then it turns out it's happening in real time.
Yeah, it's a goofy comedy thing.
SpongeBob. Yeah,
we can't take these
inconsistencies and just say, oh, it's SpongeBob, it's fine. Like, yeah. I was always wondering, like, am I giving this movie a pass because I grew up with the show? I don't think so.
No, I still think it's an issue, but I'm giving this plot hole thing sort of just, yeah, no, whatever, because, again, this movie immediately sets up, it's a very zany world, a lot of strange things go on, it's very random. So it works. I'm just saying I think the plot could have just been, you know, paced and, you know, developed a little bit better.
Yeah. Did you? Okay. All right. I want to move on to something else. Are you guys cool with that? Move on to something else?
Yeah, go on.
Did you guys notice how, like, did the movie and the filmmakers don't really know whether or not they like SpongeBob? Have you guys noticed that? Like, at the beginning, they're about to sing the song, and then, like, the whole time, the villain's like, oh, man, I, like, stop singing the song, and they actually stop the song. And then they use SpongeBob's laugh as a torture device, and they keep bringing up how freaking stupid the song is, how the theme song is, and you guys notice that? It was really strange.
No, I think that was just a ton of jokes.
Yeah, I think that was just jokes.
I mean, they were funny for the most part, but,
I thought that laughing thing was actually one of the best-paced jokes in the whole movie, in my opinion. I think it really...
Yeah, because just, like, his screams are, like, so... Yeah. I don't know. I just found that kind of... I don't know. It threw me off. They were just, like... I think this kind of ties into what this movie is trying to be about, which... I think it's trying to say something about the end of the series. You know? You know what I'm saying? Like,
so, okay, Max, I'm going to pull you aside here.
Yeah, okay, I think you're thinking a little bit too deep into this.
Here's the thing. As much as I disagree about the extent of the original SpongeBob movies, you know, thematic intricacies, I guess. I'll put it bluntly. I don't think this movie... gets that type of analysis.
Oh yeah, I don't think it
warrants.
No, I don't think I can give it, but it just seems that there are sometimes like.
No, I don't
this
think
movie
it's
is...
about anything. I don't well, think it's about
besides
anything.
It's about something. I think it's about like. There seems to be like it. It's weird how. I mean, I think it's just about like how. There's something. It's about something meta. It's about something meta. It's because
no, it's
we
not.
Have.
Max, you have this it's tendency. A, okay. It's not meta. For once, a movie is not meta.
If I can, I will admit there are some meta jokes.
Some great meta jokes.
And I will say that this movie is about something. It is about teamwork. I think that
that's
moral,
it.
While it's
oh,
not,
come
it's
on,
not.
That's,
listen,
no.
now listen to me. Let me finish. Let me finish.
That's it.
Let me finish. Okay. This movie is about teamwork. Although it could have been a lot better about that moral and theme, it is about teamwork. You could maybe bring up the idea that Steven Hillenburg and Paul Tibbett are working together in order to combine old and new SpongeBob in that way. You could make that theory.
That's interesting.
I'm not saying the movie's about that. I'm saying that is purely a fan theory. The movie's
Yeah, I'm
about
not saying this movie's deep. This is not deep. But
it's not at all
deep. It seems to like be trying to say
well, you know,
something about...
Deep blue, you know, it's not... Yeah. It's
no,
in the
I'm
deep
sorry.
Blue sea,
this
but...
This does go back
deep.
To something. This is always... This thing in the back of my head... If I may do a quick tangent, the thing about it's always been bothering me. Something Max, you said in the best and worst movies. No, let me do it.
You may go. I was gonna let you. I was say you had you did a Buttersmooth segue enough.
Am I being double teamed right now?
No.
I'm just letting Sean do it.
This thing that's been bothering me. It's something you said in the best worst movie 2014 podcast. Now you may not remember it, but I do very clearly. You can confirm you said this. We were talking about the Lego movie, right?
Yeah.
And you were talking about how it's about the Lego company. And I stepped in and said, well, it's more about creativity.
Right.
I don't think so. No, I think it's about what Lego is, yeah.
Do you want to know your exact verbatim response to me saying it's about creativity?
What?
Yeah, on the surface. I don't like the fact that you think an animated film about creativity as a whole is surface level compared to the Lego company. I think you put way too much value on meta, and you're looking for it in places it doesn't exist. That's what I think is happening here. This movie is about teamwork. It's a good message for kids.
Let me finish.
Sorry, right. I was agreeing.
You're really harshing my mellow, man. You really are.
Well, I just don't think that we should get into this. I think it's kind of going to embarrass yourself trying to analyze this. Like, the first one deserved it. Absolutely.
Well, thought in any regard is bad.
He's not discouraging your thought. He's explaining that he just doesn't agree.
I don't think this is meta.
But it certainly is about something more than just teamwork. I think there's, the execution is bad, but I think there's something in there.
Hey Max, you could do a thought process on it and get back to us later.
That hurt me so bad.
Hey Larry, why don't you choke on seawater? All right, anyway.
Seaweed. Sorry, that would have been much better if you said seaweed.
Because that's much more painful. I'm sorry. Drown in ocean.
I'm sorry. Max, I'm sorry, but this has
been fun.
On a lighter note, you know what this movie missed? You know, I just realized this movie missed the narrator. What happened to the French guy? I wanted to see him.
I'm a little Frenchy.
This sea,
pretty good.
good. okay.
Anyway, let's talk about. I just thought of that off the top of my head.
I want to talk about the Bubbles and the Pelicans and all those side characters because I know Max wants
okay.
to bring those up.
So, all right, you guys ready for this? Because this, I can tell you right now, there is something I've been thinking about in regards to one of these characters. Tell you right now, Bubbles. I'm pretty sure. Okay, so at the beginning of the movie, we see these seagulls, and they're just kind of like, they're the generic kind of characters, like they're like the group of talking animals
they're sort of like the minions of this movie, in a sense, but they're just overplayed.
Yeah, sort of minions, yeah, they just kind of talk, and they're just, you know,
they make jokes.
They make stupid jokes, whatever. And then the other character, that I think will outlast this movie, maybe, and become like a cult favorite character in the SpongeBob canon.
I will call it the David Hasselhoff for this movie. I will go that far.
To an extent, because he does, yeah.
He's out of nowhere, you know?
Bubbles is an intergalactic dolphin who watches the galaxy from a triangle in space that, with a cape and with a laser coming out of his spout, and that gives characters the ability to turn 3D.
Yep.
And,
He gives the underwater characters ability to breathe above water.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking, and here's what I noticed. So, classic SpongeBob's weird, right? Like, we can all agree. SpongeBob is very strange. And that's like one of its huge appeals. I'm thinking that Bubbles the Dolphin is classic SpongeBob, and the minions of the seagulls are new SpongeBob. That's not too deep, right? And I would almost go as far as to say that Bubbles the Dolphin is Steven Hillenburg. I mean, he watches over the galaxy, watches over SpongeBob, gets fired for some reason, and then transports the characters into 3D and becomes like a vehicle and like is a super powerful, all-knowing being. I don't know.
I take it back what I said earlier. You know, I take that back because, you know, I've had this notion of you that's like, you know, sometimes you dig too deep into things and, you know, you'll...
I mean, I'm
saying something nice. And you unpack stuff that isn't
there. That's new.
But you proved me wrong here. Because you stepped aside and made an entire point of our podcast about an intergalactic dolphin with a cape. You clearly don't do this that I think you do. You don't take things that aren't there for any significant reason outside of a joke and make them into something meta. You don't. You just don't do it. You don't.
Wait, I'm confused. Thanks,
Sean.
I'm really confused.
Thank you
brought
for that.
It meta again.
Thank
Stop.
You, Sean.
Well, no, I noticed this while watching the movie. It just seems to me like there's a, like, I think the entire movie clearly is a combination of classic and new SpongeBob trying to get together. And you know what? You know what? The main thesis of this is what happens at the very end of the movie, in the most unnecessary ending to a movie I've seen in a while.
Can we just mention the ending very briefly? Okay. I want to talk about this. For those of you who don't know, if you've seen the movie and are kind of just like, what the heck was that ending? If you've ever heard of the show on YouTube, Epic Rap Battles of History.
Excuse me.
Thank you. So, the two men who are mainly responsible for that, Nice Peter and Epic Lloyd, their real names I don't
two
remember.
Genius
yes,
lyricists.
Two very good lyricists. I will give them all the credit in the world. And let me just preface this. I am very glad that Nickelodeon picked them up and gave them work. They fully deserve work, especially with a movie this huge. I will give them props. But that ending might be one of the dumbest endings to any movie I have ever seen in my entire life.
I liked their cameo, but everything else they did was completely unnecessary. I mean, Sean, come on, you can at least go with me on that, right?
Well, yeah. Wait, what do you mean I can at least go with you?
The rap battle is by far one of the most.
You seem to stop me in my tracks
weird,
and tell me how wrong
like,
I am. In
like,
this
let me say something. Like, listen, now you might be thinking, Larry, this movie's really zany and wacky and outlandish. That rap battle fit. No, it didn't. Because every single random, weird, outlandish thing that happened was still connected to SpongeBob. It was still somehow brought down to the character's journey. This rap battle literally came out of absolutely nowhere. The movie's over. Nope, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not over.
And it's a perfect example of how, even though you point out how unnecessary this thing is and how it's making the movie longer, that doesn't mean it's any good.
It's funny.
I mean, maybe if taken on its own merits, the lyrics might be actually really smart, but their placement means nothing. And it's completely irrelevant, completely frivolous, and kind of a waste of time.
That's probably my biggest problem with the movie. That ending. I just don't know why it's there.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
It's really stupid.
And I
mean, Bubbles
was
already pretty dumb of a character. Bubbles was already pretty stupid.
I love Bubbles. No,
I'm not saying Bubbles is a bad character. I'm saying his overall idea is pretty stupid. It's an intergalactic dolphin that watches over planets.
I think that's cool. I don't think that's stupid. I think it's like an interesting, like...
Well, it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's SpongeBob.
Okay?
Of course it's ridiculous.
Yes, but then he'll make him rap, and then it just gets weird.
Okay, yes, that's weird. I mean, it's a rapping dolphin with a lot of... Actually, a friend of mine... I was watching this with a friend, and he pointed out how it's those triangles might be sort of like an Illuminati sign or something like that. I don't know. Listen, he's really smart, so I take his word for it. But, like, this rapping, intergalactic, laser-spouting... dolphin who's magical and travels through time also okay Sean, come on, can you agree with me on this? Is this rap completely unnecessary?
Oh yes, absolutely. I it felt like a weird break thing trying too hard. Yeah, that's kind of how I would describe it. They were just trying too hard. That's really what it felt like.
That is
awkward.
Probably one of the key moments of
the
movie where
it was
sitting in
the theater and it felt awkward.
Big time awkward. I was just like,
and it made it worse because
on?
I know and love the epic lore
exactly.
of the Epic Rap Battles history.
Exactly.
So it's like, I did these common audiences who had no idea what was going on. I'm like, this isn't them. This isn't good like the rest.
Yeah,
I wanted to shout to them, watch
this
their
is
real
not
stuff.
The regular Epic Rap Battles. Don't this is
well,
not
I mean,
what you
I
judge
didn't pay
them
attention
off
to
of.
Lyrics. I just paid attention to what was going on, and what was going on was very strange. So maybe I'll read the lyrics of this rap battle and maybe they'll be brilliant. Maybe they'll be awesome. But yeah. By the way, and speaking of ending, why don't we just go back to like the ending of the for the characters?
Okay.
I think one of the big reasons why I think this is just an extended episode is that there's no real repercussions to any of this that happens.
That's a lot of SpongeBob episodes, just sort of no repercussions.
Exactly, that's his point. Right?
That's true.
If there are any shown repercussions, the next episode are just completely forgotten about, and it's normal.
Yeah, that's true. And I have a theory that every single SpongeBob episode actually takes place on the same day in just different timelines. I have a theory. That's my theory.
Like, okay, you work on... Like,
oh, come on, Sean, shut up. I've thought of this for years, before I even met you.
Thank God Sean is here.
With the ending of the first movie, there was progression. Like, he developed, SpongeBob developed as a character, which again makes it feel more like a film than an extended episode. This, it just all kind of seems frivolous. Like, there's nothing that's changed. Like, everything goes back normal. Everybody's fine. Everything's good.
I think they were trying to pull one of those. Everything's back to the good old days.
I was actually thinking they were going to go for, like, the dream thing, like, where it's like, oh, it was just all really a bad dream or something like that. But I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, but I would have been really upset.
Yeah, that would have been really stupid. But, I mean, like, let's be fair here. That's a fun way to approach the ending. Sort of like, it's back to the good old day. But, like, I think the movie was push its theme a little, like, towards the end specifically. The theme got really saturated towards the end. So I would say that the pacing and just the timing overall just could have been a little bit better in that regard. I'm not saying that ending is bad, because if you want to keep making SpongeBob episodes, a movie's bigger than an episode. If you end an episode crazily,
okay. Now, Steven Hillenburg has come forward and said that the movie is actually supposed to be the series finale. Like, all things that happen in the SpongeBob cartoons and in the movie. Like, just because he becomes manager of the Krusty Krab 2, and that's it. But, like, this just feels like, again, another episode that was just very long. You know, like, and that's, I guess that's fine. I don't know. I guess I was just looking for a little bit more in that ending. And is this supposed to be, like, a prequel to the show itself? Like,
no.
Did you guys notice this?
No.
Like, no. At the very end of the movie, the main villain becomes the guy who you see at the very beginning of the show, of the opening. Like, with that, you know, with that
rotoscope. Well, he doesn't have a parakeet, though.
That's true.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's true.
No, you remember the moment. The picture frame goes over Burger Beard's head, and then it becomes the painting in the beginning.
Well, no, this can't be a prequel, because A, SpongeBob knows Sandy. That takes place, like, a few episodes into season one. B, he's a fry cook at the Krusty Krab. That doesn't happen until the pilot.
That's right.
Plus,
says over and over, is like, I've spent all my life trying to get the Krabby Patty, and that's what the show is. So, no, there's no way.
And D, the first episode of the show introduces all of these concepts. So,
all right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Again, so
you're trying to make this thoughtful. We should talk about just how good this comedy is.
The comedy is good. Yeah,
the comedy is funny. Yes, yes.
Like, you know, there's some really good jokes scene where SpongeBob is wounded and Patrick rushes to his side.
That's great.
I mean, the joke in the trailer where it's like, I see a bright light and he moves in the way of the sun. It's like, is that better? He says, yes. But the
best joke was a great joke. I didn't see that before, and I thought that was great.
Yeah. But the better joke, I don't remember verbatim, but I do kind of. I quoted
it
earlier.
It's like, we failed, Patrick. We failed. And he's like, no, that was totally, really dropped the ball.
This one's on you, buddy.
That was dark.
Yeah, that was sort of.
That was sort of a thing to it earlier in the movie, where it's just like, we failed as a team. Plank's like, no, this was your fault. You took the wrong bottle. It was like, that was great. I also want to point out another really, really messed up joke. Do you remember right in the beginning when he's reading the story? And, like, the guy is in the medical bed, and the doctor's like, he's only got a week. And then he keeps eating the Krabby Patty.
I thought that was really funny, because, again,
I died during that joke. Yeah. That's SpongeBob.
Do you guys remember, like, okay, see, the thing is, the reason I haven't brought up the comedy is that there's, like, not much to say other than, do you guys remember the part when, like, I don't know.
That's the beauty. That's what makes
it. Do you guys remember when they're, like, they're on the eagle? It's just out of nowhere. Flying on the eagle underwater.
That is what makes this movie so SpongeBob, because so many episodes I can just quote just random lines from any episode. My friends will just totally get it because we all have this universal love for SpongeBob. This movie fits perfectly. Like, one of the reasons the newer episodes just don't feel as sharp to me is because there aren't as many moments in the new episodes where I can sort of be like, yeah, remember that time when blah, blah, blah. This movie, and as well as the original, felt like that. There are moments where I'm just like, that was the day. Do you remember the, you know, that quote, you know, whatever? And that's why SpongeBob is so much fun, especially when you have friends who love it just as much as you do, because there's a camaraderie that comes with the fandom of SpongeBob, in a sense. And this movie is just so, there are so many good jokes. I still love that joke where it's just, Patrick, what are you doing? I'm vandalizing stuff. Isn't that your house? It's like, I had too many questions. What is up with all these questions?
They want refunds.
Refunds. Yeah. Goes through his ear,
this
vomits
was like
them
comedically
out.
Comedically creative, like visually weird types of jokes.
Yeah, they had all kinds of different jokes.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You know, the guy dying on the hospital bed because he ate too many Krabby Patties, eating the Krabby Patty, then the doctor takes out a Krabby Patty and eats it.
Right.
And then the morning soon to be widow, eats the Krabby Patty.
Yeah, I know.
And how the entire premise of a post apocalyptic Bikini Bottom is even in this movie for kids. Like, and, like, I think it's just really, like, and they call it the post-apocalypse, which I find kind of funny. And, like, They keep, you know, and that joke with, like, the he's only got a few days to live is, I think, the only time in the series that the Krabby Patty's ever been brought up as fast food.
That's true.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like, how they've always been like, Krabby Patties are great, and now it's like, oh, they're actually fast food that can kill you.
I also want to bring up this one other joke that really got to me. Patrick, first, I don't know how, I forget how, but he bumps his head into a wall, and he brings it up, and you know what he says? Finland. He says Finland, and I'm like,
oh, yeah,
you knew that was that's a reference to the Doodlebop episode.
Whoa,
don't
wait,
play
does he
me.
Say Finland in the movie?
He says Finland. Just like it, not oh. as much as like not he doesn't scream it, but like that was the moment right then where I was like,
where's
this
the
movie,
leak, ma'am?
Yeah, this movie gets original SpongeBob. There is a part of this movie that
again.
Knows what that's trying
yeah.
to recapture.
And
the
other part
SpongeBob.
Is, like, the more approachable SpongeBob. Again, this is a combination of the two with mixed results. Like,
and I think it works.
What it is.
And I think it works. Also, side
I mean,
note.
Yeah.
I want to bring up this really quick side note. Did you notice how many chances there could have been for so much product placement? Did you notice that?
But no,
they,
I
there
never
is
noticed
barely,
it,
no. No, like, when they're in the city, there are, like, signs that pop up of different, like, stores, but they're all original names. There is barely.
Whoa.
I don't think there might be even
well,
one.
I mean, the SpongeBob
product.
Property does not need product placement.
I know
Let's
exactly,
be
real. But I'm just saying. I think that's very honorable, and I think that's because we see movies like okay. Man of Steel, where product placement
bring
is
this
just
up.
Everywhere, and it's
which
not
I never minded
subtle.
Because it was supposed to take place in the real world. Real world has all sorts of product placement.
Well, guess what? This also takes place in the. There's also a moment in the movie where this takes place in the real world. But you know
mm-hmm.
what?
There
isn't like Priceline. Or you know, hotel or like a Holiday Inn, there's like The Reef. That's the name of the theater. It's not, you know, AMC, it's The Reef. And the hot dog chain isn't Nathan's, it's like Mr. Hot Dog or something. It's like they're not trying to sell you things. This movie is not trying to sell you toys. In my opinion, this is a movie that is made with a good heart. This is one of those movies where it is the quintessential. Its heart is in the right place in this movie, and that's why I had such an
yeah.
enjoyable time with it.
I would say so. Well, Sean, like any particular jokes outside of that, you really blew it. Anything like that?
I mean, I think I've said all I've said. It's just that there were a lot of good jokes there, and I've quoted a few of my favorites, but. It was kind of in the same vein of Despicable Me 2, where it's like, okay, it's a kid's animated comedy. I bet I'll get a chuckle here and there, but overall, I'm probably not going to enjoy it that much. It's just passable entertainment. Okay, I didn't have that attitude, actually, because I know SpongeBob was better than that. But it's in the same category of I was taken aback with how good this comedy was. That was the main thing. This is a funny movie. This has been... oh, my goodness. As I'm saying these words, we cross over that hour mark. It's been an hour... But that's all you should take away from my side. It is a funny movie. Go check it out.
Hey.
They succeeded in that. I don't think either of us, any of us are going to deny that. We can
yeah,
talk about how structurally as a film it doesn't work as well as the first. We can talk about how it's a combination of two things. We can talk about how every little frame thing is meta. But at the end of the day, it's a funny movie. Hey, if you do first.
Hey,
you marsh the mellow and you harsh the mellow.
Hey, Sean, they should have...
And then I stick it between some crackers and eat it as a delicious meta s'more.
Anyway, hey.
It's a funny movie. At the end of the day, if you want to see a funny movie, I say go for it. That's
yeah.
my final thought
yeah.
on that.
I think it's a great example.
I just
want to
quote
okay,
another
say,
one of my
I
favorite
think this
jokes.
A...
Can I just say one more of my
oh
favorite
my
jokes? Because this
wow,
is just
okay.
one of my favorites. This was another one of those moments. Yeah, they should have. They're going to have to soon call it Dirty Bottom, huh? That's really disgusting, Plankton. That's just gross.
Yeah.
That was really great.
That was perfect.
I was really hoping that nobody I was really anticipating like him like laughing at that. But the fact that he's trying to like that's actually really disgusting, Plankton. It's like that's great. It's like a moment of like let's get real talk, Plankton.
Yeah,
real
seriously.
Talk.
Come on. Seriously,
that's
come on.
That name. I like that name. We should use it for something. Let's see. So oh, I will say one more thing that I didn't get to mention. The 3D models are absolutely gorgeous,
oh, yeah.
and you will
3D
never be able to
great.
Convince me otherwise.
I love the
3D. Oh, my God.
And I have to say, I
like,
disagree with you about the 2D
so
animation, Max. I think the 2D animation
no,
is colorful.
No, it looks cheap.
I think it looks fun. I think that...
Go back and watch the original movie and tell me that the animation in that isn't better. This looks a lot cheaper and looks like it could have made for an episode instead of a full movie.
I I watched it last night and it looked about the same.
I don't know.
I think maybe
I'm
going to
go watch the movie. And I'm
now, tell me if I'm wrong. The older episodes of SpongeBob, I'm not saying you're comparing that or anything, but like the older episodes are animated differently, right? There's like, there's a different...
We're around like 2000, like all anime cartoons went right to the computer instead of like...
Right.
Instead of just like animation. You can see this in like freaking every single... freaking cartoon that you grew up with.
I know, but I noticed, but so. Come on, you have to, like, okay, we didn't bring up these weird moments, like, okay, the moment where we go into SpongeBob's mind, the moment where we're traveling through time.
Did that animation style look familiar to you guys, too? It looked like another cartoon.
I think that was the beauty of the entire moment.
My friend sat next to me, he said, like, that was, he turned to me after it was over and went, that is absolutely terrifying. Like,
yeah,
that was
I know.
Most terrifying things I've ever seen.
And, like, those moments, I feel the animation is so creative. Like, have you noticed whenever someone's traveling through time, we never really see what happens. Like, some shows show us, like, oh no, we're falling through some vortex. But, like, wouldn't you ever think that, like, if you're traveling through time, you must be pretty messed up? Like, it must feel pretty weird.
Yeah, I mean, it has those. If you remember the SpongeBob, like, I think one of my favorite parts about the original SpongeBob episodes is those classic close ups where it's, like, really detailed and really gross. Like, this movie has that.
That's,
like,
one of my least favorite parts.
I mean, maybe not one of my favorite parts, but the most memorable parts, because whether or not you can't really forget them. Like, this had that. Like, this, I mean, you know, it wasn't too often, but, like, yeah, traveling through time, I was like, hey, look, it's a Stargate from 2001. Like,
exactly. Exactly. And
only it wasn't pretentious nonsense.
Yeah.
Sorry, that ending always bothers me.
Yes.
I do kind of wish they referenced SB-129, the episode where Squidward travels in time. Like, if they go into, like, the whiteness of the limbo of...
I am completely alone.
That episode...
Everything's chrome! the plant
everything
pops
is chrome in the future.
They have to spray chrome.
I'm SpongeBob, A through C. All 329 of the letters.
Much as I enjoy quoting SpongeBob episodes, should we wrap this up?
Yes, we should get to that.
Yeah, I guess we should. So I think if you didn't hear us earlier, we all approve of the SpongeBob movie. I guess I'm the least positive about it.
The approval stamp with the least gusto.
Yeah, I guess. And I'm going to keep... And I'm sorry, Sean. I'm going to keep thinking about this movie. And I mean, just, like... Because there's something in there. I don't know. It's not too big. But, like, clearly with all the things talking about the end of days, how about the end of Bikini Bottom when SpongeBob leaves, which I think is... You know, I think there's something in there. But...
Max,
whatever.
Max, we're
you don't
not,
like talk, you don't
not
like talking about things that aren't, like,
process,
immediately surface level, Sean. So I guess you wouldn't be able to talk about it.
You realize that there's a difference between talking about stuff like that's not at surface and then just making up stuff that isn't there.
I don't think I'm making stuff up that isn't there. I think there is something
good
there.
God, you are, though.
Okay, hey, Max, make a thought process and get back to us. Again. We're not stopping you. You have the materials. I think one of the most important parts to take away from this entire review, besides for Sean's, you know, it's funny, which is important, I will agree, is that you notice that we have flaws with this movie. You know, there are problems. But
there are certainly some.
But
problems.
At least I know Sean and I are willing to. Max is a little lesser so, but I think we are willing to brush them aside to see that this movie really was made with good intentions. There are, like, you look at stuff like Legends of Oz. Do you guys know about that movie?
Yeah.
The stupid, like, Wizard of Oz cash-in sequel dump. Those are movies that, like, you clearly know. There is no reason for that to exist. Why? No. Like, you can just... There are lesser intentions. And admittedly, yes, technically, this film, the SpongeBob movie, has no right to exist. But the difference between that is that this movie has a point.
I guess there's not a point. Maybe there's a point. I don't know. I'm going to keep finding that out for myself.
There's a point, Max. There's a theme to the movie. It's teamwork. It's a wholesome message.
Yeah.
Can we please establish that?
T-E-A-M-W-O-R-K. Teamwork.
Okay. By the way, speaking of other animated movies, do me a favor. Go on YouTube. Search up Underdog's trailer. I watched it right before I watched the movie. It is amazing in how abysmal it is.
Underdog.
It's just called Underdogs. Not Underdog, not the superhero, Underdogs. It's about a bunch of foosball players that come to life. The lip syncing is
Yes, I've heard of
that.
Oh
my god. Oh, that sounds terrible.
Oh my god. Listen, I'm not wanting to detract us from too much, but my mouth was hanging open the entire time.
That sounds terrible.
How does this go through?
That sounds like literally awful.
Yes, it's an awful trailer and yeah. Anyway, with that in mind, guys, we're going to wrap it up for today. Remember, the question of the day, if you forgot about it during this nice, wholesome hour-long discussion, is not only what did you think of SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water, but what's your favorite SpongeBob quote? You know, or maybe just a moment. Like, if you, the perfume department, go for it. And don't tell us why. Like, what makes it stand out to you?
I'm not talking
like a freaking essay, but why does it stick out to me? You among other quotes, Patrick, don't you have to be stupid somewhere else? Not until 4.
No, one of my favorites is when in the one where they're in I forgot the name of it. The one where in their forest and there's the treehouse and they get slung and whatever and they're in the kelp forest and the magic conch.
Oh, the magic conch.
Yes, but no, my favorite moment from that episode is just the moment where they're flying across the sky and the couple is sitting there and the treehouse flying and he goes, "Make a wish, honey." I just thought that moment for me. It always gets to me.
Yeah.
I feel like a broken record. As much as I would like to talk about previous SpongeBob episodes, we should probably wrap this up.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, one more thing I liked about this movie. You see a lot of callbacks to the original series. In fact, even the Pickles guys in the very beginning.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, did you guys notice that?
I did. I did indeed.
Yeah, what is his name? Bubble Bass?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bubble Bass. That was his name.
Yep.
That was
fun.
Really weird episode.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, with that in mind, go see the SpongeBob movie. We'll see you next week for another review of a movie coming out.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be
good.
It's
not 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, we're not.
Should we tell them what it is, guys? Should we?
Oh, come on. Is it already obvious? It's obvious.
Yeah, go ahead and drop a pun, Sean, because you just love doing that, don't you? You just love doing that.
Go ahead. We're waiting.
I don't have one. Oh. I was just saying, theoretically.
Well,
it's a secret what movie we're gonna review.
Yeah, sorry.
Hopefully we'll feel like kings after walking out of the theater. Anyway, guys, that's enough for me and for Larry and for Sean. With that in mind, my name is Max.
My name is Sean.
And my name is Larry. Why did you say all three of our names?
I don't know.
We were just about to say them.
Okay. I don't know. I was trying to wrap things up, and I'm glad that you guys didn't freaking call me out on my stupid signing out voice.
But that's why we're here.
Would you, Sean?
Good night, everybody.
This is what I have to deal with. Yeah. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week.